just for the fun of it. And then as things progressed, it became the Chico Velo Cycling Club. And then now we're just Chico Velo. But, you know, slang takes over and we like to shorten things. So it's just Velo for a lot of people.
I got you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Years ago, how long ago did that start, the very beginning?
So, you know, around 1980 is really where you start to see kind of the formulation of the group and the club and all of that. And I think that there's, you know, even before that, I think there was something around, you know, just this group of people getting together. But that's kind of the formalized, you know, what we've kind of put down a little bit. Certainly for the Wildflower. That's, and a lot of people, that's how they know us, is from that big spring event anyway, which is great, but it's also been kind of a crutch for us just, you know, and how do we kind of move the organization forward without being tied to just such a singular moment in time almost. So yeah, we started way back when and really was for the love of cycling and being on a bike and hanging out with people. And I think as that, as maybe folks matured a little bit, then it became more about, you know, how do we add advocacy into this and education and how do we actually, you know, use this organization to make a difference. And, you know, Ed McLaughlin, he really was the guiding strong force behind Chico Velo. And honestly, like, you know, anytime anybody's ridden a bike over a bridge or, you know, wearing a helmet on their bike and riding down a bike path or riding through the upper or lower part of the upper part of lower Bidwell, you know, with no cars around, that's all really Ed and that group pushing that forward for safe cycling and pedestrian.
Gotcha. And just give me a little bit of a history, real small, about Ed. And I know it, but just so that we can, you know, when you speak his name, it would be good to let people know, you know, who he was and what happened.
So, and I am relatively new to the organization. So I speak with this, and there's a lot more people that have a much deeper relationship with him and his story and really what happened. But basically, Ed and a few other people, but mainly Ed, started Mello Velo, then later Chico Velo, avid cyclist, really lover of the arts, of the community, and just put his heart and soul into what Chico Velo is and growing that and growing the Wildfire and all, like I said, all the bike components and great community things that we have today. But was in a bike accident, actually hit one of those collards and basically went over the handlebars and had a severe spinal injury and ended up in a chair. And I think did the best that he could, I think, with his circumstances and still really put a lot of that passion into that. But ended up passing away. And I think, you know, we all are going to have some sort of end to this journey that we're on. And I think it's really wonderful that we had Ed contribute what he did. And we're really still keen on honoring his legacy and making sure that what he's built really continues and that we, you know, that heritage is really important to us in our decision-making still. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, we still have a kind of a remembrance on the website. So if you want to dig more into that, there's a lot of great pictures and some stories there too, that you can still kind of touch on some of that.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yes. And, you know, we still talk about him quite a bit. And I know isn't there actually a race? I don't know if you call it a race, but a bike ride in his name.
There is. So you bring up two great points. One, everything that we do, we call them a ride because it isn't a race. We don't want competition. We want it to be fun and convivial and really inclusive for all ages and all abilities. And we haven't been able to do that with COVID and some of the gathering restrictions in this. But traditionally, in February, we would do the Tour de Ed. And it's just a lovely ride, basically from Chico down, have a little lunch stop in Durham, and then ride back up on that bike path. And it's just an inclusive way to get people on their bikes, maybe after the dreary winter, and just, you know, have a, like, I love just the meditative and the just freedom that you get by riding a bike. And I think it's a wonderful way to remember Ed.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And then that's in February, usually.
Traditionally, yes. Yeah.
Normal. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And that was, honestly, that was the last event that we traditionally, you know, in that kind of way, we're able to host. So we did it February 2020. And by March, as we all know, you know, the world shut down and we haven't been able to get back into that kind of space really at all.
Yep. Yep. I know it. And so, and I saw that the Wildflower was virtual. It must have been in 2020 and 2021.
So 2020 Wildflower just didn't exist. We canceled the entire thing, and we actually, for the first time ever, basically refunded anybody that asked for it. And traditionally, we wouldn't have done that. We would always transfer somebody, you know, even a couple of years down the road. But we, the main funding source for Chico Velho is the Wildflower. Wow. And so not doing that, we took a huge hit. But we wanted to do right by people, and so we offered anybody and everybody a refund. And thankfully, the organization had been financially minded that we had a little tiny, tiny bit of a nest egg that we were able to coast. We also got a stabilization grant through Butte County, and that was able to keep the lights on for, you know, some of the year. Then, knowing that what we're up against, we did a virtual event in 2021, and that was, I think, fortunately, we were able to connect with people. We had good outreach for that, but it's so different. It's so much a departure from what people are used to, and it just wasn't the same. But I think on the whole, we did as best we could with that. And so what we're going to do is potentially do a fall event. I think we're really going to put some, hopefully in the next week or two, we're going to announce if we're going to be there. I think we are. I think we're going to do a fall event. And that is a really, that's a fundraiser for us to like get us, keep the lights on, get us to the next year. And then we're going to try to launch in 2022 a really classic, just, you know, muscle memory, what we all remember Wildflower.
Sure. So, I remember really well because I had a little coffee cart and I sold coffee there.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like right in there, right where, you know, everybody came for dinner and everybody was in that building. I did that for a lot of years. So I really, it's kind of near and dear to my heart too.
You know, what's great. And I love hearing those stories. And because like, it's one of those events that like, we host it. It doesn't belong to us though. I mean, everybody has such a great relationship to that and, you know, personal and professional, all these different things. Like it means so much to everybody for different things. And I love it because it is just, it's like a big hangout, you know, like people just wanted to be with their friends and coming into town. It was like, yeah, you went and rode your bike, but it was more about like the happening around that weekend than anything else, you know?
Yeah, I know. And I'd see people, you could see them. They didn't see each other throughout the year, but they'd see each other there.
That's absolutely right. It was like a really, an annual touch point for a lot of people. Yeah. And it really was, I think, you know, it kicked off the season also, you know, it was kind of like that first big ride that everybody met for, and just like then everybody kind of went into the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're talking about this fall, you're talking about a rock.
Yeah, so we're going to try to do it's going to be the first weekend of November, that Sunday. We're going to do two little routes, like a 15 miler and a 30 miler, and just get as many people as we can. Kind of, we'll mark the course, we'll do a lunch stop for the, or, you know, lunch break kind of thing for the 30 miler, and then we're going to try to have a very small, if we can do it, a small gathering afterwards, and we're going to limit it probably to 200 people at the most, and we're going to sell tickets, and it's first come, first serve. If you want to be a part of that little party afterward, you got to get in early, still being conscious of safety and all the gathering and all the other kind of things that are happening with the Delta variant and everything, but we want to do it responsibly, but we still want to try to do something this fall. That's like the fun part of it. The tactical part of it is we have to. If we're going to survive as an organization, we need the community's help through donations, through purchasing tickets to literally help support us to get there, because we're kind of at the end of the line at this point.
Got it.
Yeah.
And tell me, so what are the things that what you do? I know there's so mm-hmm. many things that you do in the community. And tell me some that you've done and some ideas that you might be having.
There's a lot, and it's evolved over the years. So the main, you know, the main programs that we currently have is one is our Adopt a Path program, which is a newer program for us. But think about, you know, you've seen the Adopt a Highway signs, basically the same thing. So organizations throughout our community and town, this is Chico based for now. We picked 8 class 1 bike paths, and a class 1 bike path is basically the path, you know, that's not on the road, that's completely separate from cars, that's really just made for pedestrians and for bicycles. So, you know, the path out to the airport or, you know, along Esplanade there, or there's all over basically.
The one to Durham.
Yep, the one to Durham is a great one. So all those kind of paths. So we've got people that sponsor those, and they go out quarterly. You know, Chico State has adopted the path that runs along the behind the fields along the railroad tracks there. And they're picking up trash. They're monitoring it. They're keeping, you know, an eye out for safety, whether it's lighting or fencing or whatever that is. And then we help the admin side. And then in partnership with the city, basically, if there's anything bigger, that we just stay in contact with everybody so that those stay safe and clean and usable. We have another collaboration with Butte County Health, in which they have trained bicycle instructors. And so for schools, for our elderly population, for just the general population, they go out and they host cycling safety classes and teach about, you know, proper bike mechanics and maintenance and how to ride and safely. And now as the students are coming back, we're going to work with university to do that with all of our new incoming students. Because as we know, you know, you get kids riding on the sidewalk on the wrong way of the street, it's like super dangerous. So what my goal is how great these incoming populations to learn the right way to do things. And that just creates a better environment, a safer place for everybody to be. We also have a program called TrailWorks, and that is really our trail maintenance and stewardship arm of Chico Velo. So, you know, if you've been up hiking or riding a mountain bike in Upper Bidwell, it's really been the TrailWorks crew and crew leaders that have done all of that stewardship and maintenance on those trails, and they've done a ton of work. And working with the city to make sure that after that small fire that was up there, the trails are getting put back together the way that they need to be. TrailWorks program is also going to be the volunteer arm, the stewardship arm for a new project called the Colby Meadows Project, where we're building basically 40 miles of new trails and mountain bike routes up above Butte Meadows in Jonesville. There's a really beautiful, amazing video on our website. I encourage everybody to check it out. It's under the Colby tab. It's about 5 minutes and just kind of explains what we're doing up there. The big thing is, you know, in COVID, we saw everybody needed something to do. So they got on a bike or they bought a new bike and everybody was out there and we all just like trampled the park, right? There was just like hundreds of people using the park every week. Well, if we want to keep that beautiful resource that it is, we got to find other places to go. And so we have a lot of those resources in Butte County. And so we're kind of going up there, up on the hill, out of the heat, and doing some really great stuff up there too. So that's where we go. And then we have, you know, some other programs like our Bikes LA, where if you have an event, you know, we were at all the Pride events, we do farmers markets, we do Thursday night market. You know, the big thing is like, how can we make it easier for you to get out of your car and ride your bike? And so the Bikes LA is one way to do that. And so, you know, for businesses and as we're slowly starting to gather a little bit more, we're taking reservations, and if you have an event, we're going to try to be there with the Bike Valet so that it makes it easier. Mm-hmm. And the key is, to me, if we can give over the fact that you get hot and sweaty when you ride a bike, if you put a bag or a basket on there and you can carry some of your stuff, yeah. It's really just, it's so much easier, especially with parking. And, you know, we live in a town that's, you know, one side or the other, it's going to take you 10 minutes to ride anyway. So it's almost faster to get on that bike and get out there and do that. And we need to just make it easy and make it accessible.
Uh-huh. You know, that's funny because one of the things is locking your bike is a bigger pain of riding a bike.
It's really true.
You know, to have the lock, where do you lock up, and taking the time to do that. So with the valet, you just bring your bike in.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's really great. And we're doing it pretty hands-off. You know, people are parking their own bikes. We give them some help. But, I mean, we park bikes with, like, full race kits all the way down to, you know, the cargo bike and a trailer and a dog. Like, we've got space for all of it. And we're just, And the nice part is we watch it. It's staffed the whole time. So you just go. Yeah. You take care of what it is. And it's really fun, too, because, you know, Saturday markets, when I'll work those, people just use that as their little base. And they'll come and they'll drop stuff off and they'll go back. And it's just, a lot of people have moved into like, this is our car now. This is how we are doing our, you know, local commute.
Yes. Now, where are you at the Saturday market? Where are you on in the market space?
So we're traditionally, we were kind of on that, like southwest corner over there across from, like Christian Michaels. That's where we had been, but we've moved to the opposite corner. So where the roundabout is and the porta potties.
Okay.
It's sunnier. However, we have a much bigger footprint, so we can actually fit more bikes. And I personally feel it's easier accessibility in and out of there. You can ride into that much freer than you can. Okay. You can still look congested because I think your coffee cart is on that other side too,
it
right?
Is right. That's why I was wondering because I remember it being there and then I haven't seen it. Okay.
Yeah, so we're on the opposite side over there.
Okay, well, great. That is, that right there, like I said, locking up the bike is such a thing. And then people don't lock them up and then they lose their bikes and then they don't get another bike and it goes on.
It's true, right? The never-ending cycle. Yeah.
We'll take a little break from our interview with John Pearson from Chico Velo. Back to our interview with John Pearson from Chico Velo. You're listening to 90.1 FM KZFR, North State Give and Take. My name's Bobby Tryon. And you do both trail and road cycling. You know, I was kind of thinking just because of the Wildflower being so much on the road, not a trail biking, I didn't realize that.
So my big thing, and I think, you know, really where the organization is going is, and I don't mean this to sound dismissive, I don't care what bike you're riding, as long as you're riding a bike. And honestly, it doesn't even have to be a bike. Are you on a skateboard? Are you roller skating? Are you walking? How can we make it easier for that type of active transportation and you know, commuting? How can we make it easier for you? So I think there was kind of a traditionally thought that, you know, Chico Velo was just about the road, just about the Wildflower, and it's a Lycra and a big expensive bike. And that's sure, that's part of it, but that's not everything. And I think, you know, we want to be inclusive and we want to have materials and programs and education that lets everybody feel that we're a resource for them, regardless of ability or whatever that is. And because I think about Upper Bidwell a lot where, you know, I love to hike. So I don't just want to ride a mountain bike on those trails. I want to be able to go up and hike them. And I know that there's some people that just want one or the other. So let's make it easy for both of them. Mm-hmm. Or riding a horse or whatever that is. And I think the big thing, like especially up in Colby Meadows with that project, it's all access. As long as it's not motorized, you can go trail running, you can ride a horse, you can go up there for, you know, an educational and bring a classroom to learn about meadow restoration. So it's just about creating an environment that people feel welcome and they're able to use it.
Mm-hmm. And they're not in a car.
And they're not in a car. Yeah, and that's the big thing. The non-motorized is a big, important piece for us. Yeah.
Right. And not, I mean, not just a car, but those little four-wheelers and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that there's a time and a place for that. It's just not in Colby right now.
So. Uh-huh. Gotcha. And who does all this work?
Oh, my gosh. So we're a small and mighty team. So there's two of us that are staffed. Danielle Baxter, she came from Butte Environmental Council. She was a GM over there. She's now our event and outreach coordinator. And I'm the full-time person, basically, at Velo as the executive director. But that's not it. We have an army of volunteers that give an enormous amount of time and energy and passion to do this. So, you know, the maintenance in Upper Bidwell, those crew leaders and those people, you know, doing all that backbreaking work, those are volunteers just pouring their heart and soul into that. And I think, you know, you look at traditionally when we did the Wildflower, there's like 200 to 300 volunteers that support that event. As you know, like we couldn't exist without people literally donating their time and energy. And I think, you know, our board is on there. They're a volunteer board. Some of them have just for decades been giving time and energy and thought into what we do. So it's lovely to be able to, in my role, honor that by continuing these programs and doing what I can to make sure that we're growing sustainably and in a good direction.
Mm-hmm. And are people members of Velo, or can volunteers just say, hey, I want to volunteer for this event? And
so it's both. So we used to be a membership organization, and that population has grown and shrunk over different times of our lifespan. But we have moved away from a membership kind of board structure, and we're now a self-perpetuating board, basically. So we still have members, but we're not calling them members. They're supporters. So we have, you know, annual donation structures that people can do, and they can give back that way. We have people that just want to give time, they give back that way. I'm not going to lie, that is still, you know, as I look to the future, those annual supporting donor groups are a way that we are going to stay an organization and sustainable and bring in money. So it's not something that we're taking lightly, but it's also, I think, it's just shifted a little in how we kind of bring that voice into the organization.
So I'm sure on your website, if anybody's interested in either one of those things, they can find it there easily.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's ways that you can become member. There's ways that you can volunteer. There's ways that you can just kind of reach out and say, I've been thinking about this. What about that? So we just want it to be as much information, as much as people want to share. We want to be able to receive that.
Mm-hmm. Certainly when the Wildflower was, you know, all those years, the businesses that would definitely support that event, that was amazing to see how Chico pulled together on that. It was just a, you know, the rest spots and all of that that went with it. And, you know, just like we were talking about the little signs that David Sisk had done all along the way, all of those things. It was such a Chico event. It's going to be wonderful to be able to get that back up and running.
I agree. And I think, you know, one, we have to. Like, that is a kind of a deal breaker for us. If we aren't able to host a large event in the spring next year, we may not make it through. I don't want to sound so dramatic, but the organization probably won't make it. So, you know, in that, we do have a big call. If you can, if you have, you know, any sort of ability to kind of help us bridge that with donations or becoming a member or whatever that is, we need your help. We need anybody and everybody that can help us. And I think with the business community, there has been a huge support system there. And what we're trying to do is move away from just supporting the Wildflower and supporting Chico Velo as an umbrella organization. So, you know, do you want to see your money go towards the TrailWorks program? Do you want to support, you know, bike infrastructure? This is what it looks like. And we work with everybody to make sure that it, you know, matches holistically with your business ethos and your mission and vision. And so everybody feels supported in that relationship. But I just don't want it to be about a one thing. Because as we've seen for 2 years, when you don't have the one thing, you're screwed. You know, you really suck.
Yes.
So I think if we can figure out how to diversify a little bit and make people feel that their money is going where they want it to, but also supporting the organization as a whole, I think it's important to do that. And I will be reaching out in the next couple months to really, you know, for some of those long-term partners, but also maybe some newer partners with kind of a more tailored, you know, sponsorship packet and what we're looking to do.
That sounds like a good idea. And especially with this Colby project, I mean, that is a big thing to undertake, and great. What an offering.
It's really cool. And you know, one of the other hats that I wear is I'm on I'm co-marketing chair for Explore Butte County. And if you look at just economic benefits for this region, the Wildflower, but also creating these other things that people can come into town and do. And it's good for everybody. It's good for the restaurants and the hotels and, you know, the shops and everywhere. I think just the more that we have to create as a resource, the more that we can offer people.
And that's for this whole area. I mean, you were talking, you know, just Butte County. It opens up so many opportunities. I love that.
Yeah.
To let people know about that. So they're working on that now. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. So they're up there surveying. They should be done in the next month or so. And once all that's laid out, then there's an environmental review that's going to happen after that, you know, with everything.
Sure.
But what that does is that we've had grant money and donations come in to secure that those are going to happen. So we can lay out the trails. We can, you know, afford all the surveys and the NEPA and all the environmental stuff. And what that gives us then is basically a shovel-ready project that, whether it's the county or whether it's outside investment, can come in and say, great, you've done all the hard work. You've gotten through all the hoops. Now, all we're going to do is we're going to write this lovely check and you're going to build that and we're close. And that, you know, we should be ready for that point certainly by the end of this year, if not very early next year, which is, there's a lot more motivation if your project is shovel ready than if you have to go through the other things. And we've secured to get to that point.
And then it just is a place that someone can come, park their car, take their bike off of their car and go.
Yeah. And it's part of the Connected Communities Project too, which is with the Sierra Buttes Trail Stewardship. And what that does is it brings Jonesville into a connected network of trails that you'll be able basically to ride from Butte Meadows, Jonesville, all the way to like Elmenor and into Quincy and all the way around to Downeyville and this whole thing. It's all laid out there, and it's just gorgeous that you'll be able to do that. And I think such an amazing resource to be able to say, oh, I can theoretically hop on my bike in Chico and I'm going to go all these different places, and it's totally accessible. And that even, you know, there's, I think it's 7 or 8 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail that actually runs through this project too. So, I mean, you're tapped into some pretty amazing, you know, access to all these different things. And it's like literally in our backyard, and it's, you know, easy drive up the hill. If it's 100 degrees here, it's like, you know, 20 degrees cooler up there. So it's just, it's pretty cool.
You know, like you said, the students are coming back. Yep. So it's good to let them know what's going on.
Certainly. Agreed. Yeah, they'll be here in a month. I mean, they're coming.
Oh, I know. I've seen them at the market already. They are coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's a good thing for all of us. I mean, it's always been that kind of mixed blessing that when they go, it's always like, wow, I can get a
true, huh? I know.
But, you know, but also really great when they come back and we missed them.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that it's been strange living in a college town without college students for the last couple of years, because there is an energy that, you know, you feel from the university, and just it's great. And I don't disagree with you. I love the energy, but I also like, you know, during those times where you can walk into that restaurant and be like, oh, there's no one here. Perfect. Yeah. Get my favorite seat again.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I notice it too. Well, John, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you so much. This was great. Good chat.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great chat. And yes, I'm happy. You know, everybody knows Velo, and I'm also like, I like to think of it as something bigger than just the wildflowers. So that was good.
Good. We do too. So I'm happy to get that word out for sure.
Definitely. All right, folks. So on the web, is it chicovelo.org?
Correct. Yep. Chicovelo.org. All of those programs are on there. You know, they've got the header tabs. You can find Colby Meadows video. You can find Trailworks, Adopt a Path. All that information will be there. Including becoming a member and donating and the whole thing.
Wonderful. All right, John. Great.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Good to chat with you.
All right, bye.
Take care.
You've just heard an interview with John Pearson from Chico Velo. Thanks for listening. Check it out again at kzfr.org under North State Give and Take. And come back next Tuesday at 6 for another interesting pre-recorded interview. Until next time.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. My name is Ginger Nichols, and you are listening to Radioactive. I hope you enjoyed North State Give and Take. I want you guys to know that North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothing and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years in the heart of downtown Chico at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information
up
by calling...
next is North State Give and Take. And North State
okay,
Give and
you
Take
can be quiet now. Thank you. Sorry, computers going crazy. For more information, you can call Cotton Party at 893-4923 and buy the printed image. Providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The printed image opened Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. How's everyone doing today? I'm doing pretty good. Oh, I have some people commenting on my Instagram Live. If you want to join my Instagram Live, you can follow me on Instagram at @GingerNichols_. That's GingerNichols_. You know, I come on from time to time, and you know, I just have a couple people come hang out, so you guys can do that if you want. But you know, I have a great show for you guys planned. I'm here until 7:30, so you know, we might as well just jump right in, right? We already got the talking out of the way, so let's just jump right into some music. This next song is Sunday Candy by Donnie Trumpet and the Social Experiment. Please enjoy. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. My name is Ginger Nichols, and you are listening to Radioactive. Stay tuned and please enjoy.